Today's shiur is Masechet Gemara Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin at Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, the last line of the Amud, Yalda Tumtum and Androgynous. And as the Rishonim explain, this statement of Yalda Tumtum and Androgynous that the Gemara is referring to, and Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, is regarding two questions that are discussed in our Mishnah. One was regarding the Kedusha of the mother, if the Kedusha of the mother extends to the children as well, and Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that the Kedusha of the mother does not go on the children who are Tumtum and Androgynous. And furthermore, Taisha says that we learned extensively in our Mishnah, the Halacha, that if somebody had a pregnant animal and made all sorts of declarations, if it will have a baby boy, or if it will have a baby girl, what will be the status of that child, that it could be considered a carbon, and what kind of a carbon. And the Mishnah is saying that all of those statements will not be relevant when we speak if the child is a tumtum and an androgynous. And as the Rishonim explained, why indeed is the halacha different if it's a tumtum and androgynous? So one pshat that the Rishonim say is that a tumtum and androgynous are neither a male or a female. It's a sofik zocher, a sofik nekeva, and he only had a mind to be makadish a zocher vaday or a nekeva vados, or as we've learned in other places, a tumtum and androgynous may be considered a beri b'fnei atzmai, may be considered a independent new category to which he did not have a mind, it should be kadosh. But that will only speak to the situation where he made a declaration. But what about regarding the halacha of that we're discussing, that the kedusha of the mother extends to the child? So the Rishonim say that the halacha, according to Shimon Gamliel, is that the kedusha of the mother only extends to the child when the child is a zachor or a nekeva. But if the child is in a category for itself, or if the child is not a category for itself, but it's a sofik zachor, sofik nekeva, then this halacha doesn't apply, and the kedusha of the mother does not extend to the child. Says the Gemara, Amay en kedusha chalaleim, why indeed is that the halacha? Kesav Rav Shimon Gamliel, because Rav Shimon is Gamliel's of the opinion, Vlad kachim babi yoysim hen kedushim. They only become kadosh when they actually are born. Mefarshim all try to understand if what the Gemara here is saying is that the kedusha is only when the child is actually born. So why is the Gemara use a language of Aviyosim and Kedoshim? Shouldn't the Gemara have used the language Keshnei Lodim, when they're born, they're Kedoshim? So one pshat that I saw is because the Pasuk that teaches us this concept that the Vlad Kachim only become Kaddish when they're born is the Pasuk of Rak Kedoshecha Shiyir Lecha. So since the Pasuk uses the words Yiyu Lecha, the Lashon Havaya, so the Gemara uses that language. But another pshat that I saw is that we know, we've learned, and we actually still will learn in our Masechta, that there is a concept that when an animal is born, for it to be kadosh, it has to have been born naturally. A yotze doifen, an animal that was born by cesarean, doesn't have that kedusha. So our Mishnah is teaching us, our Gemara is teaching us, that halacha is only under normal circumstances when we say that it becomes kadosh because of when it had to be born naturally. Here, the kedusha comes from its mother. And this actually speaks to a very important issue. The issue that it speaks to is, as the Brisker Rav explains, even if we say that Vlad is kachim, Bavi Yosim hen kadoshim, and they only become kadosh when they're actually born, even if we'll say that explanation, that still doesn't say that the Kedusha is an independent Kedusha. It's not an independent Kedusha, rather it's a Kedusha that emanates from its mother. And because it's a Kedusha that emanates from its mother, that's why the halacha is that it's Baviyasim Hen Kedoshim. As soon as they emerge, even if they weren't born naturally, their Kedusha is a full-fledged, their Kedusha is a full-fledged Kedusha, and they don't, and they have a din of a Kedusha, even though they weren't born naturally. This Akadaitach, for says the Gemara, if we're going to argue, we may iman hen kedoshim, that they become kadosh already when they're in their mother's womb, so then, why, if they're tumtum and androgynous, ask the Gemara, am I ain kedusha chol aleim? Why wouldn't the kedusha fall on them? Hafta sinu kedusha sa de'imei. And the way that we should explain the Gemara's question, they're already kadosh from before they were, they're already kadosh from before they become a tumtum and androgynous. Because they only become a tumtum and androgynous when they're born, but their kedusha is there from when they were in their mother's womb. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying here is that since the kedusha is there from their mother's womb, and when they were in their mother's womb, they weren't yet a tumtum and androgynous, then the halacha should remain that way. Then the halacha should be that they should be kadosh. It must be that they only become kadosh. They only become kadosh by the Yosef, and that when they were born, they were already a tumtum and androgynous. So ask the Brisker Rav. So that explanation works for a tumtum and androgynous. That the tumtum and androgynous is only, they only become a tumtum and androgynous when they are born. And if the Me'im are the Kedoshim, so they don't have yet this deficiency of being a Tumtum and androgynous. But he asks one of the other categories that's always grouped together with Tumtum and androgynous is Klayim. Now Klayim is from the very conception they're Klayim. So if we're going to say that even if we would hold that the Me'im are the Kedoshim, it still should not be able to be a Klayim, should not be able to be Kaddosh, because a Klayim is from the very inception. So the Brisker Rav and other Achronim say very bichidish, that even though Klayim is a reality, that it was that this animal was born from the mixture of two different Minim, which are Klayim, the shape Klayim, the category of Klayim, does not actually come into existence until the animal emerges from its mother's womb. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, even on Klayim, if the Kedusha were there from the mother's womb, then the question is, why are they not Kaddosh? It must be because the Kedusha only comes when they emerge, and when they emerge, they have these deficiencies. Certainly the deficiency of Tumtum and androgynous only comes when they emerge, but the Gemara is arguing, so too the deficiency of Klayim also only comes when it emerges. Now the Gemara is going to explain the other opinion, that the opinion that holds that it become Kedoshim and Me'im and Kedoshim, they already become Kaddish from their mother, from when they're in their mother's womb. Says the Gemara, of a high Tana Sofer, this other Tana is of the opinion that V'lode kachim v'mei iman hen kedoshim. They become kaddish already from the mother's womb. The Tana Rabbanan. The pasuk says, Ach b'chor ashe yivukal Hashem v'behema lo yagdish ish oisai. So the pasuk is, as the Rishonim explained, the pasuk should have just said b'chor lo yagdish, that the b'chor shouldn't be magdish, because pasuk pshat, the pasuk is coming to teach us that an animal that's a bechor has a kedushas bechor, an exception to all other kedushas. So, says the Gemara, what does the pasuk mean? If the pasuk had just said those words, hayise omer, I would say what the pasuk is teaching us, bechor lo yagdish hakdeshes, that a Bechor, someone who is a Bechor, someone who is a firstborn individual, has no right to be Magdish anything. Tamaloyma, that's why the Pasuk adds the words Ish Oisoi. Oisoi to Magdish. You can't be Magdish the animal. Avon Magdish, the Bechor, a Bechor Behema, a Bechor cannot be Magdish. Avon Magdish, or the Bechor Hegdashis. Other types of Hegdashis, a person who's a Bechor may be Magdish. Vadayin any Oimer, but we would still suggest, Hula Yagdish. A Bechor has no right to be, a Bechor has no right to be Magdish other behemoths. Avil Yagdishay Ochem, but other people have a right to be Magdish a Bechor. Tamaloymer, Behema. Behema Sakti. That the Pasuk is strictly speaking about an animal. And the Pasuk is teaching us that an animal, that an animal that's a Bechor, you can't be Magdish. Yochel, we will continue saying, that this thing that you can't be Magdish a Bechor is Lo Yagdishena Bebetin. You may not be Magdish it even when it's already in its mother's womb. And as the Achronim explained, one explaining, Pshat is, because we would think that the Kedushas Bechor Behema already begins from when it's in its mother's womb. But the Achronim say that that's a difficult Pshat to explain, because we all know that the Torah Kedusha is very clear in saying, Peterechem, that the Kedusha only begins when it emerges from its mother's womb. And therefore the Achronim say what Pshat in the Gemara is that we would think that it only has Kedush, that it can't be Magdish Bechor even when it's in its mother's womb, because since it stands to come out from its mother's womb, and when it will come out from its mother's womb, it will have that Kedusha, that prevents us from being Magdishit ready when it's mother's womb. Tamaloymer, that's why the Pasuk adds the words Ashi Yevukal Hashem, Mishi Yevukal Hashem Yata Magdish, only when it emerges from its mother's womb may you not be Magdishit, Ava Ata Magdish Bebetin. When it's its mother's womb, you could still be Magdishit. And that's why, as we learned in the previous shir, the Mishnah taught us that if there's an animal that's about to have a Bechor, what you're allowed to do is be Magdish that and that baby, that it should be an Oilo or a Shlomim, the various examples that we learned in our previous shir, and that's how it will not have the Kedushas Bechor. So that is the reason we know that a Bechor, before it actually emerges from its mother's womb, you're allowed to be Magdishit. Yochel, we would think, Av Vlodei Kol HaKotchim Kein, that this din applies by all, but this din applies by all Karbonis. Tamaloymer, that's why the Pasuk says, Ach, Cholak. That only by a Bechor is there a Halacha, that when it's in its mother's womb, you may not be Magdishit. You may be Magdishit. All other animals, Alma, become Kaddish, Alma, Svirlei, Vlodei, Kotshim, Memei, Iman, HaKadoshim. They're ready when they're in their mother's womb. If the mother is Kaddish, that Kedusha affects the child as well. The Achroinim ask, how can we be Magdish, an animal, when it's in its mother's womb? Isn't there a concern of Mechusas Man? That we know that an animal cannot be brought on the Mizbeach until it's 8 days old. And since this animal certainly is not 8 days old, it hasn't even been born, so how can we be Magdish, an animal, before it was born? So the Mefarshim respond that the din, that you can't be Magdish a Mechusas Man, is only said on an animal that was already alive. But in an Uber, there is no din of Mechusas Man. And since we learned that there is no problem of being Magdish an Uber, and the halacha is that if somebody said on a Bechor, while it's in its mother's womb, that it should be Kaddosh with a different Kedusha, our Mishnah said that that is 100% valid, as we just learned in the Gemara. The Gemara now, however, asks a different question. Amrle Rav Amram Rav Sheshes. Amar al Bechor im Yitzias Ruba Oilo. If somebody said regarding a child, an animal that's going to be a Bechor, that, but we know, as we just said, it only gets the Kedushas Bechor when it's actually born. And here he said that it only should be a Bechor in Yitzias Ruba, when it mostly will emerge. But he says when the animal will mostly emerge, I want it to be an oila. Oila hava, bechor hava. Which means as follows. If somebody said that he wants it to be a bechor, wants it to be an oila before it emerged, so as we just learned in the Mishnah, and the Gemara just explained the basis for the Mishnah's psak, that locha would be, that would be a full-fledged, that it would be a full-fledged oila. Here what he said was that he wants it to be an oila at the time that it's supposed to become a Bechor. And now the Gemara's question is, Oila hava, Bechor hava. What will be the status of this animal? Will it have the status of an Oila, or will it have the status of Bechor? And the Gemara explains the question. Oila hava, Shekhen Kolo. On one hand, we can make an argument that it should be an Oila, because an Oila has a higher level Kedusha, because an Oila is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Oi, Bechor hava, or on the other hand, we can make an argument that it should be treated like a Bechor, the Kol Porta, the Kol Nafik, the Milsakoi, which the Rishonim explained is the animal, as it emerges from the mother's womb, is a Bechor automatically. And is the fact that it's automatically a Bechor, a greater reason that it should be considered, a Bechor or a Oila. Lishna Churna, another version of this question, and as the Rishonim explained, there is really no fundamental difference between this explanation and the previous explanation. It's just different wording. Do we say it's Shekei Kedusha Chalalei, since it's a higher level of Kedusha, that's why it should be an Oila? Oidila B'chor Hava, or on the other hand, we should argue that it should be a Bechor, Shekin Kedusha Samarechem. A Bechor is Kaddish from when it's born, whereas this is not Kaddish from when it's born. It's only Kaddish, it automatically becomes Kaddish. Amalei, to which he responded, Maite Bailoch, I don't understand why you're asking this question. Why is this any different than the issue that Ilfa raised? Hana Dabai Ilfa, this is an issue that Ilfa raised. We know, just a word of introduction, that one of the matnas aniyim is leket. Leket means that when the animal, that stalks, as they're being collected from the field, if one or two stalks fall, as soon as the majority of each one of these stalks fall, that stalk is considered leket, and it's left for the aniyim, if it's only one or two stalks. So what happened in this situation that Ilf is about to discuss is somebody said regarding the leket in the shiras ruba yeh hefker, as most of this stalk falls down, I want it to be hefker, which means that it only becomes leket when it mostly falls down. So here at the moment it's supposed to be leket, he said instead of it being leket, it should be hefker. What is he accomplishing by saying that it should be leket, hefker rather than leket? Because the halacha is that hefker everybody is allowed to use, wealthy and poor people. Matnas aniyim obviously may only be taken by poor people, so he wants this to be available to everybody, so that's why he says it should be hefker. And it's interesting to point out the achrayim say from here we see that hefker is a form of a nether. Because what's happening in our Gemara? What's happening in our Gemara is that these stalks are still very much connected to the ground. But even though these stalks are still very much connected to the ground, he's already declaring them hefker. So we see that a person has the ability to declare something hefker even when it's not yet going to be hefker. Why? So the Achronim explain, because hefker is actually a form of a nether. And because hefker is a form of a nether, So I could always make a ned about something that will happen in the future. Here too, I could say it's hefker, even though it's not for right now. And this has, and there's a beautiful raya to this understanding that hefker is a form of a nether. Because we look in the Rambam has the halachas of hefker and the halachas of net of nedarim. Obviously, the Rambam's opinion was that hefker is a form of a nether. But this has very significant halachic ramifications. One is that we know that the halacha is that you can't make a shliach to make a nether on your behalf. So if hefker is a form of a nether, so just like I can't have a shliach make a nether on my behalf, I can't have a shliach make hefker on my behalf. And this is relevant to a halacha l'maisa issue, which I believe we've already discussed in our shiurim. And that is the question, if somebody could ask someone else to be a shliach on his behalf to be mevatel the chametz. Because we know that when we're mevatel the chametz, we say, kol chamir v'chamir d'ikam rishusei l'heva levatel l'heva hefker ka'afidara. So we know that bitul chametz is a type of hefker. And if we're saying now that hefker is the same as nedarim, and just like my nedarim, the halacha is that I can't make a neder on behalf of someone else, the halacha will also be that I can't make hefker, and a shliach cannot make bittul chametz on behalf of someone else. There's also another very interesting issue. There's a famous story with the Chofetz Chaim. Somebody came and stole something from the home of the Chofetz Chaim. And the story goes that the Chofetz Chaim did not want that individual should be over to the Aveira of Gzela. So he ran after that person and he said, I'm Moichel you, I'm Mafker what you stole. So now the question is, can he be Mafker something that's no longer in his Rishus? If we're going to learn that Hefker is a form of a nether, then absolutely he could, and that's actually why what the Chofetz Chaim did was halachically acceptable. So here again, Ilfa asked the question, Amar ha'leket, he says regarding the stalks that should become leket, in the shiras ruba yeh hefker, as most of the stalk falls, it should be leket. So now the question is, what will be the category of that stalk? Leket hava? Will this category be leket or hefker hava? Or will be in a category of hefker? What are the two sides of the shiloh? Do we say leket hava shekin kedushas b'dei shemayim? It's leket because it's leket min ha-shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu identified that this should be treated as leket. Oy, dilma hefker hava shekin zoch b'anim v'ashirim. Hefker is a much stronger form because everybody could take from it. V'omer Abaye, and to answer that question, he said, my tevoylei, divrei rav v'divrei talmud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that these stalks should be leket, and therefore divrei mishamim. So, as the Brisker Rav explains, it's not to be understood that we have a question. Should it be considered leket, or should it be considered hefker? And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's hefker, his word is stronger than our word. It's not pshat that his word is stronger than our word, says the Brisker Rav. It's much stronger than that. He says that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that this should be leket, we don't have the ability to make it hefker. The only reason we have the ability to make something hefker is because the Torah gives us that strength. In a situation where the Torah wants that this item should be leket, there the Torah doesn't give us the ability to make it hefker. And Hachanami, the same case here. When the Torah wants that this child that's emerging from its mother's womb should be Bechor, so here the Torah, even though we have, as we've been learning in our Kachim Masechtas, the ability to make something Kachim, when do we have that ability? We only have that ability when the Torah gives us that ability. But in the situation where the Torah wants that the animal should be a Bechor, and not anything else, that ability has not been given to us, because Divrei Mishanim. Haimer, continues the Mishnah. If somebody says, Vlad Shazu Oyla v'Hishlomo, the person wants that the child of this animal should be an Oyla and the mother should be a Shlomo. So the safest thing that he should do is first make the child an oila, and then make the mother a shlomim. Dvar of kayamim, and his declaration will be fine. However, if he said he shlomim, first he declared that the mother is a shlomim, and then he said that the vlad should be an oila, hareze vlad shlomim. The child is considered a shlomim. Because according to Rameya, the designation on the mother immediately spreads to the child, and since immediately it spreads to the child will get the status of the mother, and the mother is shlomim, the child is shlomim. Rashi says that even though in the previous sugya we had a discussion that vlad kachim only b'avi yosem hein kadoshim, they only become kadosh when they're born, or that has nothing to do with our Mishnah. Because that sugya was referring to a situation that the animal became pregnant after it was already hegdish. So there we had a discussion. If you have an animal that's hegdish, what will be the status of the child that it's kadosh? At what point does it become kadosh? But our Mishnah is referring to a situation that the animal is already pregnant when I'm being magdashit. And since the animal is already pregnant when I'm being magdashit, Rameya holds that whatever is the status of the mother automatically extends to the child. Amar Rav Yossi disagrees. Im lekein niskaven techila, if it was his intent from the outside that the mother should be a shlomim and the child should be an oila, hoil v'efshel likra shnei shemes kachas, but it's impossible for a person to say two things at the same time. He can't speak about the mother and the child at the exact same moment. So therefore, even though he spoke about the mother first and then about the child, Dvar of Kayomim. However, even Rabbi Yossi agrees, V'mish'omah reizu shlomim, if after he designated the mother as a shlomim, Nimlach v'omah v'lada oila, then he only changed his mind and wants that the child should be an oila, that's too late, and halayzu v'lad shlomim, the child is already a shlomim, and it can't become an oila. Am Rabbi Yochanan. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hifrish chatas muberes v'yolda, if somebody designated an animal as a karmel chatas when it's pregnant and it has a child, so the halacha is rotza bar miskaper, rotza b'vlad miskaper. What Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, that the child is considered separate and distinct from the mother. And see, since the child is viewed already at that point separate and distinct from its mother, so it's like he was magdish both the child and the mother. And since he was magdish both the child and both the mother, both of them as carbon chattis, he could use either one as a carbon chattis. As we learned previously, a person could designate two animals for a carbon chattis. My tama, what is the basis for this? Because Rabbi Yochanan is obviously of the opinion, im shiur, just like if somebody was magdish a pregnant animal, it is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that he can leave the child, the fetus, to be chulin, because the basis of all of this is uber lav yarech imoy. The uber is not considered part of the mother; it's considered separate from the mother, and therefore it's like havalei k'mafresh dechatzos. It's like he was mafresh two animals for its karm chatis. What halach is rots miskapa ba? Rots miskapa v'lidata. He could use either animal. Here too, he could use either animal. Ask the Gemara on this opinion. Maser of Elazar, we learned in the Mishnah, he shlomim uvlada oila. Again, as we said from Rashi, our Mishnah speaking about a pregnant animal, and our Mishnah says that even though the animal is pregnant, the mother is a shlomim, and he said that the mother should be a shlomim and the child should be an oila. So the halacha is hareze vlad shlomim. The child is considered the child of a shlomim. Now ask the Gemara. This after that of Shur Mishur. It was saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan is explaining, you could separate the child from the mother. So the kedusha of the child, and that's why he says that if it was a karmel chatas, it would be an independent karmel chatas. So this child of the pregnant mother is not kaddish because of its mother. It's kaddish for itself. Hareza vlat shlamim. So why does the Mishnah use the wording vlat shlamim? Hareza shlamim by Mishnah. The Mishnah should have used the word that it's a carbon shlamim. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Tavla, Bami Nodahi. You can't bring a raya from our Mishnah, because Amar Rav Latana, Rav says that the correct gears of our Mishnah, Tani Areza Shlomim, that's a Shlomim. It's not a Vlad Shlomim, it's an independent Shlomim for itself. Meisve, ask the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Haimul Shivchasan. And there's a word of introduction we need to say here. We know that Halacha is that a Shivcha, or Eved Kanani, there's a concept of Koma Shekana Eved Kana Rabbi. Whatever they acquire really becomes their owner. And therefore there's a fundamental issue. When we want to free them, and we want to give them a Shtar Shichur, how does it work? The Shtar Shichur that the owner gives them should be ineffective, because it's just taking it's staying within the Rishus of the owner. And the answer is, as the Gemara will say explicitly in Amud Beis, there's a concept of Gitoi V'yadei Bayim Kechet. They both come at the same time. And therefore, says the Gemara, Ha'imul Shivcha, if somebody says to Shivcha, Harei at Shivcha uv'ladech ben chayrim, you should remain a Shivcha, and your child should be free, the child that you're carrying. Imais Ubra Zachsula, if she's pregnant, she could be Zoicha in the Chtar Shichur on behalf of her fetus. Now, makes the Gemara's point. If we're going to say that the child is not separate from the mother, rather, uber yerech mimai, the uber is part of the mother. So that's why, she can accept the shtar shichur on behalf of her child. Why? Because it's no different than havelikim shach chatzi avdai. Just like the halacha is that somebody could give his eved a shtar shichur, even though he's only giving him a shtar shichur for half of himself. The Gemara throughout Shas keeps on speaking about a chatzi eved and a chatzi ben chayrim. So this will be similar, that the uber is only part of the mother, and since the uber is part of the mother, that's why you can, just like you give the mother a shtar shichur for herself, or a shtar shichur for part of herself, you could give her a shtar shichur for this part of herself, which is the uber. Mishum hachi zachsala, because have a claim mishach chatzi avid, umani, and whose opinion does this reflect? It reflects the opinion of Rebbe, Kiritanya, as we learned, Rebbe Omer, hamishachi chatzi avdoi, even if you give an avid a shtar shichur for only a part of him, it's effective. Yoitzul cheris, he goes out free, because there's a concept of gita v'yadah b'yin tachos, they come at the exact same time. However, ask the Gemara, if we're ever going to say shi'urei mishuyah, that we're going to say that the child is viewed distinctly from its mother, because uber lav yerech imay, the uber is not considered part of its mother. The question is, amai zachsala, how could the mother accept a shtar shichur on behalf of the uber v'tanya? Nirin, there's another braisa which says as follows. Nirin she'evet zoich l'kabel shah shikr shechaveroi miyad rabbi shedishloi. Even though somebody is an evet kanani, he can accept and be the person that will accept the shtar shikr for an evet that is owned by a different owner. However, he cannot accept the shtar shikr v'loi miyad rabbi shloi. But he can't accept the shtar shikr for somebody who is owned by the same person as he is. Because as we said earlier, even though there's a chiddush of Gita V'yadai Bayim Kachos, when do we say the chiddush of Gita V'yadai Bayim Kachos? Only for this Eved himself who's being freed. For this Shivcha herself who's being freed. But not for another Eved. Not for a different Shivcha who's owned by the same owner, because then it would not be going out of the Rishus. Because Kamash Kana Eved Kana Rabbi. But if this uber is considered lav yerech imay, so he's not considered an extension of his mother. He's considered owned by the same owner as the mother. And we just learned in the Braisa that you can't take a shtar shichur for another eved who's owned by the same owner. el shmamino. It must be a raya. Im shiure ain't a mishur. It must be a raya that the child is considered part of the mother, and therefore you can't have the child chulin and the mother kachim. But you have to the Rabbi Yochanan, who says shiur mishur, because ubalav yerach imay. So the Tysus asks that here the Gemara says Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is refuted. But this issue, which is the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion of Uba Yerach Imai, Uba Lab Yerach Imai, is a machlokes throughout Shas. So why all of a sudden here is this a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? So Tysus says that even though Rabbi Yochanan's opinion of Uba Lav Yerach Imoy does have basis throughout Shas, it's not the halacha, and therefore the Gemara could use the wording to Yufta the Rabbi Yochanan, even in a situation where he has a basis for his opinion in Shas. That's one explanation. But Rabbi Tam has a different explanation. He says that the wording of the Gemara is not to Yufta the Rabbi Yochanan to Yufta, it's only to Yufta the Rabbi Yochanan. When the Gemara says to Yufta twice, indeed, says Rabbeinu Tam, that represents a total refutation. When the Gemara, however, only uses the word to Yufta once, it means there's a kasha. Indeed, as we're learning, there is a kasha on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, but it's not a total refutation. Why is it not a total refutation? Because Rabbi Yochanan is going to follow the opinion of Uba Lav Yerach Imoy, as we're about to see, in fact. And in fact, says the Gemara, therefore, Lema, this issue, Im Shiur Mishiur, Tanoihi, this question of Uba Yerach Imoy, Uba Lav Yerach Imoy, actually suggests the Gemara's Machloikus Tanoi, the Tanya. It says in the Braisa, Haraim Lushiv Chasoi, Arei At Bas Chayim, you should be free, Uvlodech Evid, but your child, your fetus, should remain an Evid. Vlad Kamayu, so, dear Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili says, whatever is the status of the mother will be the status of the child. The Chomer Midvarb Kiyomim, it's fine. Rishum Shunemar, because the Pasuk says, the Ishiv Yodea Tiyel Adonai, the child and its mother should be in the same status. But before we go further, ask the Gemara, Karam Mai Tamudu Rabbanan, the Pasuk that the Gemara just quoted, Ishiv Yodea Tiyel Adonai, it backs up, doesn't back up the Rabbanan's opinion. So what's the Gemara saying? Amar Rava. So says Rava, the way to understand the Brice is as follows. Kra l'Rabbi Yosef Glili. The Pasuk is actually not backing up the Rabbanan's opinion. It's actually supporting Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion. The Tani, because the Brice says, V'lo the Kamaho, that the child and the mother are treated the same. You know why, says the Gemara Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Hishav Yoredeo, Tiyel Adonaiho. The child and the mother travel together. Says the Gemara, my lot, Bokanovki, isn't the machloikis of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef Glili about our issue? The Rabbi Yosef's opinion is going to be Shiore Eina Meshuyer. And therefore, the child and the mother travel together. Rabbanan Sovereign, the Rabbanan will hold Meshuyer. The child and the mother do not necessarily travel together. Amler, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan, it's not necessarily compelling. The Kulam, everybody can indeed hold Shiur and Meshur, that the mother and the child travel together. V'okai Natama, says Rabbi Yochanan Glili, even though normally, Uba Lav Yerach Imoy, and the mother and the child don't have to travel together, here it's an exception, because the Pasuk says, Hishiv Ledeh Tiyel Adonaiho. Alavad Elem Kani Tanoi, that this is a Machloikus Tanoi. The Tanya, Hashoich Resachatos, if somebody shechs an animal which is a carbon chatos, or matzaba bet arbachai, and he finds in the chatos a 4-month-old viable child. And as the Rishonim explained, it's specifically a 4-month-old viable child. Because if it was 5 months old, the issue that we're going to discuss is, will the shechita of the mother be effective for the child? Once the child is 5 months old, there are opinions that's considered totally independent, and the mother's shechita will not be helpful for the child. On the other hand, when it's less than 4 months old, it's totally not viable. So it's very specific that it's a 4-month-old viable child. Tani chada, a 4-month viable fetus was found in the mother. Tani chada, one braisa says,
Ein nechalas el zichri kuna. It has the din of a karmen chatas. And therefore, it can only be eaten by male kahanim, like a karmen chatas. Ven nechalas el yom echad. It can only be eaten by for one day, like a karmen chatas. Ven nechalas el fnim nekoyim. And it can only be eaten on the Azara, like a karmen chatas. V'tanya idach. But there's another bright that says, nechalas l'chal adam. It could be eaten by anyone. The nechalas b'kol makan could be eaten anywhere. The nechalas l'adam could be eaten forever. Because it's not a karmen chatas. My laugh isn't the machloikas tanoim. My laugh, tanoim, isn't there a machloikas tanoim? The Tanakama sover. The Tanakama holds shiurei mishur that the child and the mother are independent. And since the child and the mother are independent, we go back to what we discussed, Rabbi Yochanan, on the bottom of Amud Aleph. So each one of them is an independent karmen chatas. And since each one of them is a karmen chatas independently, you have the halacha of karmen chatas on both. But ask the Chazon Ish, if both of them are karmen chatas, we know that if a person did one aveira, he only brings one karmen chatas. Here, he did one aveira with two karmen chatas, and they're both treated, as the Brisa says, like two karmen chatas. Answers the Chazon Ish. Then when do we say that you can't have two karmen chatas for one animal, for one aveira? Is when you shecht the two separate karmen chatas. Here he didn't shecht two separate karmen chatas. He only did one ma'aser shechita. Since he only did one ma'aser shechita, the halacha will be that it's considered. And since he only did one ma'aser shechita, it will be considered fine that he could eat both. On my sabbat, and the other man got my holes. The other man got my holes. Shiura ain't a mashur that they considered two separate animals, and therefore the mother is a karmen chatas and the child is not. Amalek Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Yochanan that isn't the raya either. The cool amal because everybody could agree im shiuri mashur the mother and the child are separate. Vahani tanoi. What is the machlokes? Barkamufki, the machlokes that we began our shiur with. The Masover, the Tana of the second Brisa holds, Kachim Babi Yosem and Kedoshim, they only become Kodesh when they're born. Masover, like Kachim Meim and Kedoshim, they already become Kodesh when they're in their mother's womb. If you say that they become Kodesh when they're in their mother's womb, they're already considered Kodesh because of their mother. If you only say it becomes Kodesh when they're born, this animal was never born. It was found in its mother's womb and therefore never got a Kedushas Chatas. But everybody will agree, says Rabbi Yochanan, that Uber Lav Yerech Imoy. Everybody will agree that Uber Lav Yerech Imoy. And as the Rishonim point out, haven't we always discussed the issue of Vlodis Kotchim? So they'll say that Vlodis Kotchim will only be, is only in a case where the mother became pregnant after she became Kodesh. That's when we have the special din of Vlodis Kotchim. B'boi say Meloi Kasha. Kan Kishkdisha L'Psoif Desabro. The second Brisa that says that it's Chulin is where she first became Kodesh and then she conceived afterwards, but this child was never born and there was never any Kedusha on the fetus. And it's also not Vlad Kotchim because it wasn't born. When you were Magdisha, when it was already pregnant, so there's a Kedusha both on the mother and on the child. Ask the Gemara, Maskula Rava, but my the time Rabbi Yochanan Shuri Meshuri. We said Rabbi Yochanan said that if somebody is Magdish a pregnant Karben Chattis, he could use either the mother or the child as his Karben Chattis. Because he held, as we learned, Ubalav Yerech Imoy. Asmar, who says that's the explanation for Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Dilma Hainu Tam Rabbi Yochanan, maybe the reason Rabbi Yochanan is the other Meskaper B'Shvach Hegdish. A person could be Meskaper with Shvach Hegdish, and therefore something that is a extension of the Kedusha of the mother is able to be used as a Karben Chatas. We learned the Vlad Kotchim goes Lamisa. So Rashi explains that's only where the person chose to use the mother. So if he chose to use the mother, then the Vlad goes Lamisa. But if he chose to use the mother, then the halacha is that Adam Eskapa B'Shvach Hegdish. Allah Rav Nuna. So Rav Nuna said to Rava, that can't be an explanation. The Rav Elazar Talmid de Rav Yochanan. Rav Elazar was Rav Yochanan's Talmud. The Yosef Talmid de Rav Yochanan. And he learned by Rav Yochanan. And our Mishnah, we asked a question on Rav Yochanan's opinion from our Mishnah. Which our Mishnah said that if you made the mother a shlomim, the child is a shlomim. And we asked, why is it considered a vlad shlomim? And not an independent shlomim. So why didn't he give this teretz? For lo hadalei shnuya. Why didn't he give this teretz? So Adam Skaper, the shvach hegdish. That at Amitam, the Rav Yochanan Mishnah, Adam Skaper, the shvach hegdish. The fact that he didn't say it is a raya that that isn't the basis for Rav Yochanan's opinion. But we learned in the Mishnah, shlomim nimlach. If Rav Yossi agrees that after he said that the mother is a shlomim, and therefore the child will be shlomim, he changed his mind and wants the child to be an oila, it's too late. Says the mother, of course it's too late. Pshita v'ad shlomim. I'll call the Amos the boy of nimlach. Could you always change your mind? Amra papa. It's referring to a situation where he changed his mind, talk today deeper. That we have a rule throughout Shas, talk today deeper, kadibur. The high unit could ma'ayin, because he was still thinking about it, kamash malon. And the machlokes Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi seems to learn that the Gemara is teaching us that even though throughout Shas we have a halacha of talk today deeper, kadibur dami, that kachim we don't have that halacha. Why? So the Achrayim explained the Pshat and Rashi is. Because, why do we say Tarkadei Dibur Kadibur Dabi? We say Tarkadei Dibur Kadibur Dabi because the person has a chance to change his mind. But by caution, where what you say is so important and should be so serious, you have no right to change your mind. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that the Pshat is that Avada by caution, you also have the right of Tarkadei Dibur. Because it's a shorter amount of time, not the time of a Talmud to a Rebbe, which is a longer greeting, but the time of a greeting of a Rebbe to a Talmud, which is a shorter greeting. Obviously, Tosfos' opinion is, Tarkadei Dibur is not pshat that the Torah gives you a right to change your mind. And therefore, as we explained Rashi, by Kachim, you don't have that right. Pshat in Tarkadei Dibur is that you're still speaking. Just by Kachim, Chazal gave you a shorter window than they did by other areas of Halacha.